Tavikantini Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanusuti Devi, Panamami Hari Pre, Vanchika Patrugascha, Kripa Sindhavi Evita, Pratitananam Pavanivyo, Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha, Sivasri Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today is the appearance day of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and so we will read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to enter into an understanding of his glories. So we're very fortunate that everything is all laid out for us, and that you know, if we somehow had to work out with our intelligence or our own abilities the glories of Lord Nityananda, we would have no ability whatsoever really to understand who is Lord Nityananda, and that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what his specific characteristics are. There's just no way that we could understand anything. But we're very fortunate. We have the spiritual master, the initiating gurus, the Shiksha gurus, the line of spiritual masters coming into cyclic succession, and they have compiled many transcendental literatures, these, such as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the authorized biography and description of the Lord's pastimes. And for us, all we have to do is read and hear. Everything is made very easy, and something which is completely impossible becomes so easy that it's very simple. Couldn't be any simpler to sit and listen. So this is the grace of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, that he has made understanding his glories very easy. You know, we see that you know, there are many intriguing personalities within this world. Some scientists, you know, they live very, very hard to find out about their lives. Some famous people, celebrities, royalty, very hard to find out even a few little bits and pieces, even in this material world. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has made himself very easily available. That's described in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, of course, that although he is resides in his own abode, he is very, very far away, but at the same time, he is very near. So although for those who do not take shelter of the Guru Parampara, he is very far away. He cannot be seen or understood. But for those who take shelter of the Guru Parampara, he is right there in front of them. Very easy. And of course, the best process, as we learn through the Guru Parampara, the best way to see Lord Nityananda is to hear. In the material world, we have a misunderstanding that the best way to see something is to use our eyes. With our eyes, we can't even see each other. So I'm looking at all of you, but I cannot see any of you. All I can see is some material covering and who you are, the spirit soul within each and every body. I cannot see. I have no idea who you actually are. One day I hope to find out. So by seeing, we can't see anything. But by hearing, I have more of an understanding that within each and every body, you know, there is a spirit soul, this who has an eternal relationship with Krishna. I cannot know that by seeing, I can only know that by hearing. So by hearing, I can see better. So by hearing, we can see Lord Nityananda, who is very, very close to us, right next to us, right there. So let's have a look. Begin looking at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So I'm not going to read the Bengali. I'm just going to read the translations. I'm just going to read through. I might stop occasionally and make a little comment. But if I say anything that someone would like to just comment on or question, just stop me. Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. There we go, confirmed in the first verse. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have described the glory of Sri Chaitanya in 6 verses. Now in 5 verses, I shall describe the glory of Lord Nityananda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. They are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. He is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvipa as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Seshanaga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Gava ocean and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. So this is the 7th verse of the first 14 verses. As we described when we're describing the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya, that there are 14 verses in the very beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And pretty much the Adi Leela expands upon those 14 verses and thus fully describes the Panchatattva, or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Sri Gadadha, and Srinivasa Acharya, and all of their followers. So this verse here is a very important seed verse, which he will explain. That is, that may Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Seshanaga, and the Vishnus, 3 Vishnus, who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions, and the portions of his plenary portions. So he will describe those 5 features of Lord Nityananda. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes 5 other forms to serve Lord Krishna. Okay. Let's not get confused. So Sankarshan himself, who is Balaram, Balaram's the original Sankarshan. So that Sankarshan had 5 forms. So this, we're describing Lord Nityananda in five features, and the first feature is Sankirshan, who has five sub-features, five other features. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and does the work of creation in four other forms. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation, and in the form of Lord Sesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. So read the purport. Support by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to expert opinion, Balaram is the chief of the original quadruple forms and is also the original Sankirshan. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. Maha Sankirshan, Karanabdishai, Gavadakshai, Nchiradakshai, and Sesha. These five plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestation, whereas Sesha is responsible for the personal service of the Lord. Sesha is called Ananta or unlimited because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is the servant of Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servant of Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. Text 11. In all the forms, he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaurasundara. I have explained this seventh verse in four subsequent verses. By these verses, all the world can know the truth about Lord Nityananda. So, as we described, there are five verses which will describe Lord Nityananda. So we've described one, which describes Lord Nityananda in five features. And here is the second verse. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankirshan in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudeva, Sankirshan, Prajumna and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. Beyond the material nature lies the realm known as Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. Like Lord Krishna himself, it possesses all transcendental attributes such as the six opulences. That Vaikuntha region is all-pervading, infinite and supreme. It is the residence of Lord Krishna and his incarnations. In the highest region of that spiritual sky is the spiritual planet called Krishna Loka. It has three divisions, Dwarka, Mathura and Gokul. So here we've only come a few verses and already we're way beyond the material existence and we're discussing the spiritual sky and the spiritual Vaikuntha planets there. And the topmost planet within the spiritual sky is Dwarka, is Krishna Loka, which has three divisions, Dwarka, Mathura and Gokul. Dwarka, Mathura and Gokul. So that's three divisions of Krishna's own planet, Krishna Loka. Sri Gokul, the highest of all, is also called Braja, Goloka, Svetadvip and Vrindavan. Like the transcendental body of Lord Krishna, Gokul is all-pervading. infinite and supreme. It expands both above and below without any restriction. So here, we're describing Krishna's Krishna Loka, of which the three portions, Dwarka, Mathura, Gokul. Gokul can also be known as Braja, Goloka, Svetadvip, and Vrindavan. It has various names according to various characteristics. Gokul, of course, is Krishna Loka as it is in the spiritual sky. Braja, generally we would refer to Braja when we're speaking of Krishna Loka in Bhoma Vrindavan, the material material world. So that Svetadvip refers generally to the outer portions of Krishna Loka, specifically Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs his eternal pastimes in that part of Goloka Vrindavan. So according to different characteristics, which we won't go into now, Gokul is known by different features. That abode is manifested within the material world by the will of Lord Krishna. It is identical to that original Gokul. They are not two different bodies. So the Goloka or Gokul that we see here in the material world in Vrindavan, that is non-different. The only difference is that one is situated high and one is situated low, otherwise they are identical abodes. The land there is touchstone, Chintamani, and the forest abound with desire trees. Material eyes see it as an ordinary place. But with the eyes of love of God, one can see its original, real identity as the place where Lord Krishna performs his pastimes with the cowherd boys and cowherd girls. So then he quotes this verse from the Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakarasadmasukalpa briksham lakshabhriteshu surabhira vipalayantam Lakshmi sahasya satya sambrahma sevjamanam govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires, in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. He manifests his own form in Mathura and Dwarka. He enjoys pastimes in various ways by expanding into the quadruple forms. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna and Aniruddha are the primary quadruple forms from whom all other quadruple forms are manifested. They are all purely transcendental. Only in these three places, Dwarka, Mathura and Gokul, does the all-sporting Lord Krishna perform his endless pastimes with his personal associates. In the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual sky, the Lord manifests his identity as Narayan and performs pastimes in various ways. So now, having described the topmost Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky, it is now describing the other planets in the spiritual sky, where Krishna does not manifest his pastimes, but his expansion as Narayan, forearm form of Narayan, manifests his pastimes. Krishna's own form has only two hands, but in the form of Narayan, he has four hands. Lord Narayan holds a conch shell, disc, club and lotus flower, and he is full of great opulence. The Sri, Bhu and Nila energies serve at his lotus feet. Tribhu and Nila. So it's interesting that as we will describe here, see how much we get through, but in the pastimes of Lord Balaram, of course, who is the original Sankarshan, also manifests as Lakshman, as the companion of Lord Ramchandra, and here then as Balaram and also as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. In his various expansions from Lakshman with Lord Ramchandra, Balaram with Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda with Lord Chaitanya, the pastimes become sweeter and sweeter. And the pastimes that he manifests with his own spiritual potency, internal pleasure potency, they also become sweeter and sweeter. So we see here, for instance, that in the feature of Narayan, there are many Narayan forms, such as Lord Varaha. And Lord Varaha was his appearance day yesterday. Because in the spiritual world, Lord Varaha appears in a forearm form, but when he appears in this world, he appears in the form of a gigantic boar. So Lord Varaha lifted Bhumi, the earth, from the ocean, the depths of the, as Prabhupada describes, the filthy place, murky place, deep down in the Garbhadaksha ocean with his tusks. So Bhumi is an expansion coming from Bhu Shakti. So we see here that Lord Narayan has his features as Sri Bhu and Nila. So in this pastime, Lord Varaha is having a pastime with his expansion of his own spiritual energy in the form of Bhumi, who was actually his wife. They had, it's considered that all the living entities on the earth, Bhumi is the mother, and Lord Varaha is, you know, as being non different from Narayan, is the father. One very famous son, of course, from that combination is Narakasura, who later was killed by Krishna. So anyway, you know, in that Bhumi Devi, she was saved by essentially her husband in the form of Varaha, and he lifted her up on his tusks. Mm-hmm. And then it was very fearful. The, you know, the big demon Hiranyaksha came to kill both of them, really. And but Lord Varaha, you know, had a great battle and very chivalrously protected Bhumi Devi, and he killed that demon. So now, in Krishna's pastimes, his Bhu Shakti again manifests as Kubja. So there's actually one very nice verse in the Uddhava Sandesh by Rupa Goswami, where the gopis, Lalita is actually speaking to a swan on behalf of Radharani, who is suffering in separation from Krishna. And she is describing all the various incarnations, that they are non-different from Krishna, and she is describing that Krishna, you lifted Kubja onto your lap and saved her, you know, who was carrying sandalwood paste. So the sandalwood paste, of course, is representing the earth, the fragrance of the earth. And of course, she was delivered because that sandalwood paste she was supplying to Kamsa. So in this way, she had fallen into a terrible situation. And when Krishna lifted her onto his lap, he again saved her. So it's a similar pastime, a little bit sweeter, you know. And of course, Srimati Radharani, she is the source of all Shaktis. The ocean that she is drowning in is the ocean of Krishna's beauty. It's described that Krishna's beauty is like an ocean of youth, and the water is his beauty. And his beautiful face is like the moon shining over that ocean. And the beautiful rays of the moon are like the smile on Krishna's face. So she is caught up in the whirlpools of that beauty, but Krishna embraces her and saves her from the torment of separation from Krishna. So in this way, there are sweeter and sweeter pastimes between the Lord, as we can see with Lakshman, Balaram, Lord Nityananda, and also his Shaktis. We look very, very carefully at these pastimes. So the sweetest of all pastimes, of course, are these pastimes with Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their Sankirtan movement, which we shall see as we go on. Although his pastimes are his only characteristic functions, by his causeless mercy he performs one activity for the fallen souls. So who are we talking about now? What's that? Lord Narayan. Yes? Lord Nityananda in his expansion. Right? So we went from Krishna Loka to Narayan, so now we're talking about Lord Nityananda in his forearm feature as Narayan. So, although his pastimes are his only characteristic functions, by his causeless mercy he performs one activity for the fallen souls. He delivers the fallen living entities by offering them the four kinds of liberation: Salokya, Samipya, Sasti, and Sarupya. That is to... what are those four types of liberation? That's what I said. What do they mean? What do they mean? What's that? No. Living in association with the Lord? Living on the same planet? Sarupya, to have the same features. No? Oh. Sashti, to have the same opulence as the Lord. Yeah, we said four. There is a fifth, Sayuja, to become one with the Lord. Generally, Vaishnavas don't really like that one. So Lord Narayan offers those liberations. Those who attain Brahma Sayuja liberation cannot gain entrance into Vaikuntha. Their residence is outside the Vaikuntha planets. Those who want to merge with the Lord, outside the Vaikuntha planets is the atmosphere of the glowing effulgence, which consists of the supremely bright rays of the body of Lord Krishna. That region is called Siddhaloka, and it is beyond material nature. Its essence is spiritual, but it does not have spiritual varieties. It is like the homogeneous effulgence around the sun, but inside the sun are the chariots, horses, and other opulences of the sun god. So the spiritual sky is without variety, and spirit souls can merge into that, and just like little particles of sunshine. But those who attain the four types of other types of liberation They're like persons who live on the planet of the sun rather than living within the sunshine. As through devotion to the Lord one can attain his abode, many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear and affection. That's a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 1, text 29. Very famous verse describing how if we somehow or another absorb ourselves in the form of the Lord, we can actually attain his abode. Where it has been stated in that verse that the Lord's enemies and devotees attain the same destination, this refers to the ultimate oneness of Brahman and Lord Krishna. This may be understood by the example of the sun and the sunshine, in which Brahman is like the sunshine and Krishna himself is like the sun. So, just saying that enemies of God may also think of God, and if they're fortunate to be killed by the Lord, they can sometimes attain the Brahma Jyoti, but generally not the spiritual planets. But the devotees who absorbed in him favourably attain the spiritual planets. Thus in the spiritual sky there are varieties of pastimes within the spiritual energy. Outside the Vaikuntha planets appears the impersonal reflection of light. That impersonal Brahman effulgence consists only of the effulgent rays of the Lord. Those fit for Suyuja liberation merge into that effulgence. Beyond the region of ignorance, the material cosmic manifestation, lies the realm of Siddhaloka. The Siddhas reside there, absorbed in the bliss of Brahman. Demons killed by the Lord also attain that realm. So that's a verse from the Brahmanda Purana saying the same thing. In that spiritual sky, on the four sides of Narayan, are the second expansions of the quadruple expansions of Dwarka, Vasudev, Sankushan, Prajumna and Aniruddha constitute the second quadruple. They are purely transcendental. There, the personal feature of Balaram called Mahasankushan is the shelter of the spiritual energy. He is the prime cause, the cause of all causes. So we're probably wondering, you know, how is this all connected to Lord Nityananda? So in this verse it describes that we've heard, of course, how Krishna expands his Balaram, who is non-different from Lord Nityananda. Balaram is the first original Sankushan in the original Chatavyuha of Dwarka. From that Sankushan expands Narayan, and that Narayan expands as the second quadruple expansion. Mahasankushan of that second quadruple expansion is the shelter of the spiritual energy, and he is the primary cause of all causes. One variety of the pastimes of the spiritual energy is described as pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. It comprises all the abodes of Vaikuntha. The six attributes are all spiritual. Know for certain that they are all manifestations of the opulence of Sankushan. There is one marginal potency known as the Jiva. Mahasankushan is the shelter of all Jivas. Sankushan is the original shelter of the Purush, from whom this world is created and in whom it is dissolved. He, Sankushan, is the shelter of everything. He is wonderful in every respect, and his opulences are infinite. Even Ananta cannot describe him. That Sankushan, who is transcendental pure goodness, is a partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram. So, again, trying to understand the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. His expansion is Mahasankushan, and that Mahasankushan is the source of the marginal potency of the spirit souls, some of whom reside in Vaikuntha Loka, and some of whom fall to the material world. And the Mahasankarsan is also the shelter of the spiritual energy which is actually manifesting the Vaikuntha planetary system. And Mahasankarsan is also the shelter of the Purusha avatars, or Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Shirakshaya Vishnu, Gavarakshaya Vishnu. Any questions? I've briefly explained the 8th verse. Now please listen with attention as I explain the 9th. I offer my full obeisances under the feet of Sri Nityananda Brahma, whose partial representation called Karanarakshaya Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purush, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of all the universes. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and beyond that effulgence is the Karana ocean, or causal ocean. Surrounding Vaikuntha is a mass of water that is endless, unfathomed and unlimited. The earth, water, fire, air and ether of Vaikuntha are all spiritual. Material elements are not found there. The water of the Karana ocean, which is the original cause, is therefore spiritual. The sacred Ganges, which is but a drop of it, purifies the fallen souls. In that ocean lies one plenary portion of Lord Sankarsan. So, within the spiritual world, there is also earth, water, fire, air and ether. But they're all spiritual. Whereas we also have earth, water, fire, air and ether, but they're all material. The water of the Karana ocean is of that spiritual quality. And just a little drop of that comes down as the Ganges water. What's that? Just a drop. Just a drop. But that drop, of course, had to be captured by Lord Shiva in his form of Gangeshwar. Because the Ganges was going to smash the worlds to pieces. It was so powerful. That little drop falling was enough to smash the world to pieces. Lord Shiva had to capture that. Because although it's a drop from, you know, that level of, you know, Mahavishnu laying on that ocean, but for us it's a, you know, huge body of water, and Lord Shiva let it out drip by drip in order to protect the worlds.
Lord Mahadev, when he fears, he dropped
water. Yes. Yes, Lord Vamanadev put his big toe through the cavern. What's that?
It is so here.
Yes.
It hears it.
Yeah. So therefore we see pictures of Lord Shiva and he has that little spout of water coming from his hair. That's that pastime. So, in that ocean lies one plenary portion of Lord Sankarsan. He is known as the first Purush, the creator of the total material energy. He is the cause of the universes. The first incarnation casts his glance over Maya. So, the Mahavishnu is described as the creator of the total material energy. And he glances over that material energy, Maya. And in this way causes the creation of the universes. Maya Shakti resides outside the ocean of Karana. Maya cannot touch its waters. Maya has two varieties of existence. One is called Pradhan or Prakriti. It supplies the ingredients of the material world. So we discussed this a little bit, talking about the appearance of Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnu has two features, and Maya has two features. One of the features is of Mahavishnu is Advaita Acharya, who is non-different from Mahavishnu, and Advaita Acharya has the function of controlling and infusing the creative potency within one of those aspects of the material energy to create the material ingredients. Because Prakriti is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of material world. But Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert material nature. Thus Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. The Maya aspect of material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation. But it also cannot be the real cause, for the original cause is Lord Narayan. Just as the original cause of an earthen pot is the potter, so the creator of the material world is the first Purush incarnation, Karananavasaya Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the creator, and Maya only helps him as an instrument, just like the potter's wheel and other instruments, which are the instrumental causes of a pot. The first Purush casts his glance at Maya from a distance, and thus he impregnates her with the seed of life in the form of the living entities. The reflected rays of his body mix with Maya, and thus Maya gives birth to myriads of universes. The Purush enters each and every one of the countless universes. He manifests himself in as many separate forms as there are universes. When the Purush exhales, the universes become manifest with each outward breath. Thereafter, when he inhales, all the universes again enter his body. Just as atomic particles of dust pass through the openings of a window, so the networks of universes pass through the pores of the skin of the Purush. So then he quotes this verse from the Brahma Samhita. The Brahmas and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of the Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval lord Govinda, for Mahavishnu is a portion of his plenary portion. Here is a similar verse from the 10th canto, chapter 14, text 11, by Lord Brahma. Where am I? A small creature of seven spans of measurement of my own hand. I am enclosed in the universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just like particles of dust passing through the opening of a window. That's a very nice verse. So, of course, Lord Brahma is his position on a material platform is inconceivable to us. The most powerful, he has four heads, he manages the entire universe. But he is considering that, what is my position? I am one little Brahma, sort of captured in this material universe. And what is Lord Nityananda's, or Lord, Lord Narayan, Mahavishnu, what is his glory? Is that these unlimited universes, when he breathes, they appear, and when he inhales, they withdraw. A part of a part of a whole is called a kala. Sri Balaram is the counterform of Lord Govinda. Balaram's own expansion is called Mahasankarshan, and his fragment, the Purush, is counted as a kala, or a part of a plenary portion. I say that this kala is Mahavishnu. He is the Mahapurush, who is the source of the other Purushas and who is all-pervading. Gavadakshay and Shiradakshay are both called Purushas. They are plenary portions of Karana Desai Vishnu, the first Purush, who is the abode of all the universes. So, they're describing that all the three Purushas, of course, are expansions of Mahasankarshan, who's an expansion from Narayan, who's an expansion from the original Sankarshan, who's an expansion of Balaram, who's not different from Lord Nityananda. So I'm just going to skip a little bit. So, there's a little discussion here about, you know, a little bit more information about Mahavishnu, Gavadakshay Vishnu, and how he expands as the various, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu for the maintenance, destruction, and creation of the universe. there is a little bit more discussion here now about Shiradakshay Vishnu. This is the 10th verse. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Shiradakshay Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Seshanaga is his further subpart. So we can understand the all-knowing power of Lord Nityananda, because, you know, just one part of his feature is the supersoul within every atom, within the heart of every living entity. And expanding from Shiradakshay Vishnu is Seshanaga. The material planets rest within the stem that grow from the lotus navel of Lord Narayan. Among these planets are seven oceans. There, in part of the ocean of milk, lies Svetadvip, the abode of the sustainer, Lord Vishnu. He is the supersoul of all living entities, he maintains this material world, and he is its lord. In the ages and millenniums of Manu, he appears in different incarnations to establish the principles of real religion and vanquish the principles of irreligion. So in this way, through various incarnations, he maintains the order and balance of material creation. That Shiradakshay Vishnu, in the various ages within the material world, various incarnations appear through him. Those incarnations descend from Vaikuntha, the Narayan forms, but they come through Kshiradakshay Vishnu. And it's also said they appear also through his expansion as Lord Ananta Sesha. Yeah. And those incarnations, they maintain the order of, is their guidance, which guides everyone else in the universe, all the demigods, all the Manus, all the scriptures, all our Vedic texts are all understood and distributed basically through those incarnations. So in this way we can understand that Lord Nityananda is, you know, the source of all incarnations. All incarnations of the Lord, Kapila, Varaha, Matsya, they're all non-different from Lord Nityananda. Unable to see him, the demigods go to the bank of the ocean of milk and offer prayers to him. He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. That Lord Vishnu is but a part of a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations. That same Lord Vishnu, in his form of Lord Sesha, holds the planets upon his heads, although he does not know where they are, for he cannot feel their existence upon his heads. His thousands of extended hoods are adorned with dazzling jewels surpassing the sun. So, all the planets and universes are actually held on the heads of Ananta. But he doesn't know. He can't. They're so, you know, just like we have a little bit of dust. We don't know that it's there. The universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, rests on one of the hoods like a mustard seed. That Ananta Sesha is the devotee incarnation of God, he knows nothing but service to Lord Krishna. So it's a very nice purport here. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Krishna Sandarbha, has described Seshanaga as follows. Sri Anantadeva has thousands of faces and is fully independent. Always ready to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he waits upon him constantly. Sankarshan is the first expansion of Vasudeva, and because he appears by his own will, he is called Svarat, or fully independent. He is therefore infinite and transcendental to all the limits of time and space. He himself appears as the thousand-headed Sesha. So that form of Ananta Sesha appears from Sankarshan. He is an expansion of Lord Vishnu as a feature of Sankarshan. In the Skanda Purana and the Ayodhya Mahatma chapter, the demigod Indra requested Lord Sesha, who is standing before him as Lakshman, please go to your eternal abode, Vishnu Loka, where your expansion Sesha with his serpentine hoods is also present. After thus dispatching Lakshman to the regions of Patala, Lord Indra returned to his abode. This quotation indicates that when the Sankarshan of the quadruple form descends with Lord Ram as Lakshman, when Lord Ram disappears, Sesha again separates himself from the personality of Lakshman. Sesha then returns to his abode in the Patala region, and Lakshman returns to his abode in Vaikuntha. So they appear together. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita gives the following description. The Sankarshan of the second group of quadruple forms appears as Ram, taking with him Sesha, who bears the global spheres. There are two features of Sesha. One is the bearer of the globes and the other is the bedstead servitor. The Sesha who bears the globes is a potent incarnation of Sankarshan, and therefore he is sometimes also called Sankarshan. The bedstead feature of Sesha always presents himself as an eternal servitor of the Lord. So here we're describing the same personality, but if we refer to Ananta Sesha in his feature of carrying the universes and planets upon his hoods, we may refer to him as Sankarshan, and when we refer to him, you know, as the bedstead and throne and what have you, we refer to him as Ananta. So Sankarshan, Ananta, same person, but you know, different features. This is interesting because it describes that Sankarshan descends with Lord Ram as Lakshman. That was the first quote there. The second quote from the Bhagavatamrita describes that Sankarshan form appears as Ram, taking with him Sesha. With his thousands of mouths, he sings the glories of Lord Krishna, but although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. The four Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him, his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental bliss of love of God. So we have the four Kumaras, they have their disciplic succession, and they got their knowledge from Lord Sankarshan. He serves Lord Krishna assuming all the following forms: umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. Therefore, we should be very careful with these paraphernalia of the Lord, because they are non-different from Ananta Sesha. He is thus called Lord Sesha, for he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna, and thus he serves the Lord. That person of whom Lord Ananta is a Kala, a part of a plenary part, is Lord Nityananda. Who therefore can know the pastimes of Lord Nityananda? From these conclusions we can know the limit of the truth of Lord Nityananda, but what glory is there in calling him Ananta? But I accept it as the truth, because it has been said by devotees, since he is the source of all incarnations, everything is possible in him. They know that there is no difference between the incarnation and the source of all incarnations. Previously, Lord Krishna was regarded in the light of different principles by different people. Some said that Krishna was directly Lord Narayan, and some called him Lord Vamanadeva incarnate. Some called Lord Krishna an incarnation of Lord Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. All these names are true. Nothing is impossible. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he is the shelter of all plenary parts. Thus, at the same time, all his plenary portions join in him. In whatever form one knows the Lord, one speaks of him in that way. In this there is no falsity, since everything is possible in Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited to everyone all the pastimes of all the various incarnations. Thus, Lord Nityananda has unlimited incarnations. In transcendental emotion, he calls himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes he serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes as his friend, and sometimes as a servant, just as Lord Balaram played with Lord Krishna in these three different modes in Braja. Very important verse. Sometimes people, you know, describe Lord Nityananda or Balaram in a particular feature. Here it describes there are three features that he serves Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes as a friend, sometimes as his servant, and sometimes as a guru. Three features, depending on the mood. Playing like a... Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance and he makes them do so. Thus Lord Chaitanya is also the only controller. All others are his associates or servants. His elders such as Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya and Srivasta Kaur, as well as all other devotees, whether his juniors, equals or superiors, are all his associates who help him in his pastimes. Lord Gauranga fulfills his aim with their help. So even when Lord Nityananda is appearing in the mood of Lord Chaitanya's guru, he's doing that in a mood of being the servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's assisting Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the central Prabhu upon which all others take shelter. And even when Lord Nityananda appears as his guru, by chastising him or instructing him, he's doing that in the mood of serving, assisting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Advaita Acharya and Srila Nityananda Prabhu, who are plenary parts of the Lord, are his principal associates. With these two, the Lord performs his pastimes in various ways. Lord Advaita Acharya is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Lord Chaitanya accepts him as his preceptor, Advaita Acharya is a servant of the Lord. Lord Nityananda Swarup formerly appeared as Lakshman and served Lord Ram as his younger brother. The activities of Lord Ram were full of suffering, but Lakshman, of his own accord, tolerated that suffering. As a younger brother, he could not stop Lord Ram from his resolution, and so he remained silent, although unhappy in mind. When Lord Krishna appeared, he, Balaram, became his elder brother to serve him to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. Sri Ram and Sri Lakshman, who were plenary portions of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, entered into them at the time of Krishna and Balaram's appearance. Krishna and Balaram present themselves as older or younger brother, but in the scriptures they are described as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and his expansion. Lord Chaitanya is the same Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. So that's a very important point. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, is in the mood of fulfilling the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is how he should be properly worshipped. The ocean of Lord Nityananda's glory is infinite and unfathomable. Only by his mercy can I touch even a drop of it. Please listen to another glory of his mercy. He made a fallen living entity climb to the highest limit. So I'll leave it there. He then describes how Lord Nityananda actually appeared to him, the author, and told him to go to Vrindavan, and gradually all the spiritual truths were revealed to the author. So that's another story in itself, but we've successfully managed to read fully this chapter describing the principal glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Any quick comments or questions?
The energy is
Nila.
What is
Nila? Who are Sri Bhu Nila? It's a big topic. It's a big topic.
Could it be?
We can't speculate. She has a definite role. Could it be Ganga? No. We can't guess. She has, the Nila, they also appear in their roles in creation and maintenance and destruction of the universe. Shibu and Nila taking a role in the destructive aspects of Lord Shiva's pastimes. But she also has, particular roles in her spiritual capacity, as well as they, Sri Bhu and Nila, actually have roles in their material manifestation, in creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and they also have roles manifesting the opulence and pastimes. Nila is sometimes referred to as Leela Shakti as well. But it's a very big subject. I've looked into a bit, and it's because they expand again. I think there are nine, those three then expand as nine other different, potencies. It's quite a big subject. But we should understand that they have a particular function in the spiritual realm, and they have a particular function in, as they expand, in helping the maintenance, destruction, and creation of the material world.
You get to know
Here we go. Yes.
And the second point is, when Ganges comes as a drop, does it expect to become a big river or how? When it comes into the mesh of Lord Shiva, must be expanding?
That's a big drop.
Big drop.
That's a big drop. I want, you know, we might refer to it as a drip.
My Guru Maharaj, when he came to Vrindavan, Tyananda, 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 in the 8th chapter of age, he's so powerful in that speech. Thank you very much.
He can shout louder than I can. He has the big wampus, is that? Kija, do you want to shout? He's your guru. Shri Nityananda Prabhu Kija. Hare Krishna.